97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
NPR and PBS are not neutral media outlets. They are the closest thing we've ever had in this country to Pravda. They are the arms of the left-wing activist class, taxpayer-funded platforms for political propaganda masquerading as journalism.
All right, Jim Talent, former Missouri senator, joining us right now. Jim, welcome back to the show, my friend. How are you?
I'm fine, Mark, and thank you. Always good to be with you.
It is great to have you on. We appreciate your time every week. The rescissions bill got through the Senate. Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins did not fail to disappoint, but they got it through, and now we have $9 billion in savings, including things like cutting funding for PBS. What do you think about what Eric Schmidt said there?
Well, he's right. I voted for that 30 years ago when there was actually a much stronger case for keeping NPR just because of the nature of the business, in the sense that, you know, there weren't anywhere near as many outlets. And since then, they've also become the cheerleader for every progressive cause. I mean, no matter how weird, and they don't allow dissenting or critical voices either. So what he said is correct. It's essentially a propaganda outlet funded by taxpayer dollars. So it needs to go for several, or the funding needs to go for several reasons. If they want to become or be MSNBC, they can get funded privately the way MSNBC is funded. So they're going to do that. It's long overdue.
Yeah, I wonder when I look at the funding issue. You know, I remember Air America was the big supposedly left-leaning radio network that failed pretty miserably because they didn't get the kind of commercial support they thought they would get around the country. And I always argue that's because nobody needed to hear that because they could just watch the mainstream news media. They didn't need that perspective necessarily on a daily basis. Do you think they can? Do you think NPR, PBS, your local NPR station in St. Louis, can exist if they've got to go out and generate their own revenue?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same question you could ask of any media outlet. I mean, in other words, can you get enough support? Now, you know the business better than I do, but you can occupy niches in. I don't know whether to call it journalism or not. I mean, I've been on the local station on a number of times over the years. You have to occupy a niche that you have a big enough group of listeners who want to hear. And I think they can, but they're going to have to do it now the way everybody has to do it. And that's the better way. And then the broader issue, Mark, is, I'm sorry, we're not going to reduce this deficit unless we start setting some priorities about what's important and what isn't. And so we have a bill here that looks at foreign aid. It takes, I think, what is it, $8 or $9 billion of it and says, you know, it's not really producing anything on behalf of America's interest, which foreign aid should do. And so we're going to reduce that. And I expect we'll see other measures along the line as well. I mean, Speaker Johnson's been talking about it. I think we'll probably see other rescission measures down the road.
Yeah.
Well, I know one of the, and you kind of just brought this up, but one of the sticking points for a lot of people who are against this rescissions bill is the funding for USAID. But when you hear about some of these programs that it was funding, like what was like drag shows in some foreign countries, I can't even wrap my brain around the fact that somebody signed off on that to fund it in the first place.
It's gotten pretty extreme in a lot of ways. We need to look again. We need to really do a thorough review of how we engage with other countries around the world on these kinds of issues in a way that advances the interests of the American people. And, the president is doing that. And remember, he went to the Middle East and secured a lot of investment in the United States. Those are the kind of ties economically that bind us or gain us credibility with other countries, so that we can partner with them on broader security issues. But USAID has not been doing the job, and so they're losing some money. I mean, you know, all of us in the private sector understand if you don't accomplish the mission you're supposed to accomplish, you know, you're not going to get funded. You're not going to get customers. You're not going to get investment. And that's what's happened with USAID.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can't think of many Americans. I can't imagine many Americans are sad that we're saving that amount of money, although they poo-pooed it saying it's less than 1/10 of 1% of the federal budget. So why did you need to cut that? Well, I mean, you could make that argument. Why would you ever save money then? Anywhere you would, right. You can save money, you should.
And in fact, the opposite is true. In other words, if we're going to get the debt under control, eventually, and there is some discussion of this now, we're going to have to bend the cost curve, for example, of Social Security down. Now, it's going to continue to go up in spending, but not by as much. And if you're going to ask the American people to make sacrifices along those lines, you have to have done everything you can do in the discretionary budget. That's what this is here. In other words, you have to eliminate all the waste you can eliminate, obviously all the fraud. And then you can go to the American people and say, look, we have disciplined spending on things like this. If you're spending billions of dollars to build electric mail trucks or charging stations, and you don't produce any trucks or charging stations, and then you go to the American people and say, now, look, we want you to trust us in Social Security, how are they going to respond?
Yeah.
And so I think this sort of thing is absolutely essential. I thought it when they were doing the big, beautiful bill. Made some reductions there, and I think you're going to see more along those lines. I think the American people will support it, especially on. I mean, this is the beginning of this sort of thing, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Well, I wish I didn't have to utter the name Jeffrey Epstein ever again, but for well over a week now, it seems that's kind of dominated a lot of the conversation, and the president just wants the whole issue to go away. Do you think that's going to happen?
Well, I think eventually, and it's not an issue I've followed as closely as I'm sure some of your listeners have. You know what? I'll say two things about this. I think they can be true at the same time, and they are true at the same time. There's a whole lot of smoke with Jeffrey Epstein. A lot of questions that I ask myself, have they really been resolved? In particular, regarding how he died. You know, now they released a video. But the timing of that sure was suspicious. So I understand people being concerned. Now, on the other hand, there's been a prosecution in connection with this. There's been class action lawsuits against Epstein and his estate and against the banks. There is a lot of material that's been revealed. And I don't, you know, I do trust. I think the administration has earned our trust when they say, look, we prosecuted everybody we can prosecute with this. And if that's the case, then people should ask themselves, do we really want files revealed with a whole lot of names in it that of people who haven't done anything wrong but whose reputation will be, you know, will be hurt by this? Yeah. Remember the old Dragnet show, Mark, at the end?
Sure.
They would say, the story you've just seen is true. The names were changed to protect the innocent. We do have to be careful with investigatory material, because they'll ask questions of everybody about everybody. If you've worked for a big company or a big union or a big organization and they've ever been investigated by the government,
yeah.
You know, the odds are that somewhere in those files your name is mentioned, okay? And that doesn't mean you did anything wrong. So, I think the president's probably right. I think this will be resolved as a big issue, but I understand people's concerns.
It's a good point. Jim Talent, thank you as always.
You are welcome.
You have a great week. Former Senator Jim Talent there. Great to get him on.
Get more at 971talk.com.